Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Today we're going to be having a baby dedication following the message. And in this service that we'll be having, the parents will be dedicating this new little life unto God. Also, at this time of the year, we think about a baby that was born 2,000 years ago approximately in a little kind of out-of-the-way place almost called Bethlehem. To parents that were of modest means, essentially they were nobodies. That's the way society looked upon them. And that we'll be celebrating in a couple of weeks. And as I was thinking about the baby dedication and all of this, it got me to thinking about new life. You know, people usually get excited when they hear that there's going to be a new baby coming into someone's life. I remember around here several months back when we heard the news that Brittany and Kevin were going to become parents. All of us, I believe, were excited. And I was really excited because I got to be great Patches. And so that to me was fantastic. And we begin to pray for them and for this blessing that God was going to bring into their life through this new little life, a life that had not existed before. Someone that was going to be uniquely different. And think about it. We're all different. Oh, yes, we're flesh and blood. And I presume that all of us, it's red blood that flows through our veins. Last time I checked, mine was still red. And of course, I know in my case, I never know what to expect when it comes from that. But anyway, we are different. Even though on the outside we somewhat resemble each other, but we can spot somebody, and even though if we don't remember their name, we may remember their face because we are different. And as we grow older, there are things that come into our life that even makes us more uniquely different. But just think about it, even a little tiny baby, the differences that you can have from one baby to another. You could probably put three or four babies side by side and you would find uniqueness among them, even though maybe they were only a month or two old. You could find these differences. And of course, as we understand and know that a new life is going to be coming into our presence, we prepare and do whatever we can to prepare for this child's arrival and begin to help them here through their journey on planet Earth. You know, there's a time that we have to spend here. For some, it's shorter than others. Some's lifespan here, or time spent on planet Earth, is very short. Others may live to a ripe old age. I remember a few years ago, before we moved to Tennessee, we were visiting friends up in Oregon, and we went to visit our friend's mother, who was in a nursing home, and she was celebrating, I think it was her 102nd or 3rd birthday, something like that. And we don't hear of a lot of people that live that long, but she had lived a full and long life. So as Christians, as we especially welcome a new life into our midst, we want to begin to prepare that child, that new person, for their ability to love and serve God. We want to guide them and direct them and teach them, and we want to help them on their journey as they prepare for their eternal life. Because you see, the life that we have here on planet Earth is transient. One day, the Bible tells us that we're going to die. Unless we're caught up in the rapture, we are going to die. That's going to happen. That's just the same as they all, you know, what's the old saying? There's two things that are certain. It's what? Death and taxes. And I think taxes are almost more certain than death, but but we're going to die. But that's only this outer part of us. This part that we physically see right now, it's what is going to go back to dust. But there is life in us that is going to go on forever. And we need to prepare while we are here where we are going to spend that eternal life. So we want to guide them and direct them as they prepare for that journey. As I mentioned, in a few weeks we'll also be celebrating the birth of another child, a child that was born, like I said, 2,000 years ago, whose life and death and resurrection changed the world and the course of mankind, giving us a hope that we had not had before. Think about it. We have a hope. As Christians, we have a hope. I was reading this last week, and it seems this year particularly, at least, seems like that Christianity has been under attack more than any time I can remember in my lifetime. And they were talking about that an atheist group had put up a billboard, I believe it was in New York City, stating there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there are no angels, and so on. I don't know what all else was on the board. But I remember telling someone one time, okay, you don't believe in God? Okay. But what if I'm right and you're wrong? You've lost it all. And I've gained everything. And if you're right and I'm wrong, what have I lost? I've lost nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you're right and I'm wrong. Do you want to take the chance? And that's sometimes the way we need to look at it, maybe. I don't know, to get through to some of these people. But God created us, and I don't see how anybody can look around at the life that we have. And I'm not just talking about human beings, but all the other life that's on around. Think of all the different kinds of life that exists around us. In the spring, we'll see the dead trees. Now, the trees that look dead anyway will suddenly begin to spring back to life, and leaves will begin to grow again, and they will become full of foliage and maybe even flowers and something else that grows on them, maybe a fruit or whatever, as new life comes back into them in the spring. God created so many wonderful things. He gave us life. The Bible tells us this. As I mentioned, He gave us hope. Well, what is hope? The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou dost, except God were with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus has made a statement here. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. So Nicodemus asks a question in verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born which is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb again and be born? And Jesus begins to explain to Nicodemus what needs to be done. So how do we have new life? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born anew, not of mortal seed, but of immortal, by the word of God which liveth and endureth forever. That's how we are born again. By the word of God which liveth and endureth forever. And who is the word? The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was that word, and that word was with God, and that word was God. Who is the word? Jesus. He is the word. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 goes on to tell us, and that word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we saw the glory thereof as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word was made flesh, dwelled among us, that we might see the glory of God and experience the glory of God. What was Jesus' purpose for being born? God had a purpose for it. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh not for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and have it in abundance. What does he say? I'm come that you can have life. That's his whole purpose, was to give us new life. And the life that we are born into, we are dead in our sins. That's no hope for us there. And that life that we are born into. But he came that we could have new life, a new beginning, a restoration to the fellowship that God intended man to have with him from the beginning. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 says, and if Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the complete Jewish Bible says, gave his only unique Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. New life. That's what Jesus came for. That we could have that new life, that we could have that new beginning, that we could have that change in our being that would give us that restoration and fellowship with God. And you know, as we go through our life, we all go through times of hardship, times of trouble, times of trials. It'd be physical. Some here have experienced that in the past year or so. It can be financial. I think in the day we live in, most of us experience that one. You know, it's hard to make the money meet the ends sometimes. It can be emotional. There are things that drain us emotionally, that prey upon our emotions, that tear us apart emotionally. It can be spiritually. As Christians, when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, he washes that sin away with his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We still are going to face times that we will go through spiritual attack and spiritual hardships. Because you get on the number one list. You're one of Satan's enemies, number one. He doesn't like you. Do you realize that while you're out there in the world and you're not serving Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how good you are or anything like that. He could care less about you because he's got you. They're mine. I don't care what they do. They're mine. I don't care if they're good. I don't care if they're evil. They're mine. But the minute you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, and your sin has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, you're no longer Satan's child. You're now the child of God. And the Bible says he hates us. Because the Bible says there's enmity between God and Satan. He doesn't like you anymore. Now, I know that sometimes as a Christian, we can mosey along. And I remember in Bible college, one of the things, you know, some things stick with you. Some things that sometimes seem almost insignificant that will stick with you for a lifetime. And one of the things I remember was not something I was taught in class, but as a freshman, we're sitting back in a study room preparing, and one of the all-wise seniors walks into the room and sees what we're doing and looks at us as we're studying our Bibles. He says, well, when you're finished here, you're going to know everything. You're going to know it all. You won't even need to do this anymore. You can sit back and take it easy then. Well, I kind of kept up with him somehow. I don't know how, but I know he got kicked out of two or three denominations and lost his credentials, so I don't know. Apparently, he didn't know it all, you know. But some folks say, well, you know, once I become a Christian, oh, I'm a child of God now, I can sit back in my rocking chair on the front porch, take life easy, and do nothing. But I think God calls every one of us to a work to do, just like we're called to a work to do in our human life as individuals and our regular day-to-day needs. We have work to do. It may be different chores. It may be different things. It may be taking care of the house. It may be going to a job somewhere. It may be sweeping the streets. I don't know, but you've got a job that you've got to do. And God has a job and a plan for all of us. But some folks say, oh, I got it made now. I can sit back and take it easy. Well, I got news for you. The devil doesn't care about you that too much on that one either because you're not doing anything for God. But if you're doing something for God, he hates you. He hates the life that you're living, and he's going to seek to destroy you. You say, well, that's not very encouraging. Ah, but the reward from what we do is well worth what we have to go through. Because to be able to spend eternity in the presence of God and the rewards that he has set aside and prepared for us are beyond anything we can possibly imagine or think. And we've only got to put up with what the devil puts on us for a brief period of time. In the scheme of things, it's a drop in the bucket. God came that we could have, sent his son Jesus, that we could have eternal life. John 14, 1 through 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. Where I'm going, there's a lot of places to live, and I'm fixing one for you. Anybody ever go house shopping? I know that several years ago, about 20 years ago, I think it was, we were house shopping and we looked for over a year for a house. We moved here then And we were again back out house shopping, and we looked and looked and looked for a house. And we still sometimes go out just for the fun of it and look at houses. And you see some that I'll tell you, it might be a brand new house, but you walk in and you can see that the work there is so shoddy and it's so slapped together that you say, I don't want this one. I don't care what price they're asking for it. And then you may walk into another and all of a sudden you say, ah, I found the house of my dreams. This is home. But guess what? After a while, home needs some repairs. You've got upkeep to take care of. You've got maintenance to do. Because I don't care how good the builder is here, there are going to be things that go wrong, and there are going to be things that just out of wear and tear begin to come apart. But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you a place. And when he prepares us a place, we're not going to have to worry about any of those things. First of all, it's going to be a house, not the house of our dreams. It's going to be the house, the dwelling place that is beyond our dreams. We cannot even begin to imagine the place that he has prepared for us. Do we have to worry about shoddy workmanship? Do we have to worry about getting a homeowner's warranty? Nope, don't need those things. It's not going to fall apart. Because it's a place that was built by God. And he's got a good track record. A place that Jesus is preparing for us. A dwelling place that we can dwell eternally. And not only that, he says that we are going to be in his presence. Think about it. In the presence of God. And I know some people get all excited when they think about meeting a celebrity. Oh my, so-and-so's coming to town. I just can't hardly contain myself. You know, they fall all over themselves. But the celebrity is a passing thing. Because we found out how fast some people can fall from their celebrity status and suddenly become basically an outcast. Oh, we think about, well, if I could meet so-and-so, that'd be such a thrill. But we're going to be able to stand in the presence of the Creator of the universe. And we are going to be able to look at Him and call Him Father. Think about that. You walk up to one of these celebrities and call them Father, and you're going to get carried away. Maybe get beat up, I don't know. You try to get something out of some of them and you're going to regret that you even knew them then, you know. But we're going to be in the presence of the Creator of the universe and we can call Him Father. Because He is our Father. Yes, we have earthly parents, earthly fathers, earthly mothers. But we have a heavenly Father that created it all. And yes, He created us. Think about it. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just think about people that say, oh, well, you know, life started out, and there's been so many things come out this past year about how life started on planet Earth. I read somewhere the other day now that we came from Mars. And, you know, that somehow I cannot figure out how in the world something impacted on Mars that threw spores of some kind all the way through space that landed here on planet Earth and started life here. I mean, You got to really believe something fantastic to believe that story. And then they say, if you believe in God, you're a fanatic, you know, and you're crazy if you believe in God. But I'll tell you, believing in them, what they've got to say is a lot harder to me than to believing in God. Because I look at these things and I say, this could not happen by chance. It cannot happen by chance. I read the story the other day of the little boy that asked his mother where we came from, and I may have told some of you this, and she says, well, you know, God created us. A day or two later, he went to his father, and he says, where did we come from? And dad says, well, you know, there's evolutionary steps here, and then there's the monkey, and then there became people. So the little boy says, Mom, you said we came from God, and daddy says, we came from a monkey. And she says, well, he was talking about his side of the family. And sometimes that may be the way it is. I don't know. You know? But I came from God. And I've heard if the monkeys could get lawyers, they'd probably sue. But we're going to enter into his presence. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and go out and find pasture. He is the door. He is the way. He goes on to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, says, neither is there salvation in any other, for among men there is none given. There is given none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. You can call upon Buddha all you want to, and you will not be saved. You can call upon Muhammad all you want to, and you will not be saved. You can call upon any of these other quote-unquote religious figures out there all you want to. They're not going to save you, and they are not going to hear or answer your prayer. But when we call upon the name of the Lord, it says, we will be saved. That's his promise to us. Last night as we had our Christmas party, we had some promises that were put in your little goodie bag. God gave man a lot of promises. Man makes promises too, and a lot of times man breaks his promises. Sometimes deliberately, sometimes accidentally, sometimes because of forgetfulness. Many reasons why we may break our promises. But God never breaks his promises. If he said it, it's done. An acquaintance of mine years ago wrote a song that went along, if Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will live forever throughout eternity. God's word will live forever. Father, I ask today, as this message goes out, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives. And Father, if there are any that are listening beyond the walls of this building that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Help them to realize that there is salvation only in the name of Jesus. That he came to be born, that he could give his life on the cross as sacrifice, as the payment for our sins, that our sins could be forgiven. This I ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dedication.
You have been listening
and
to
I
a
think
message
I put her
from
to
the
sleep.
Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed
usual.
You, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.